Bernstein and Harris.
I'm covered in bees.
Middays 10 till 2.
Landetta to punt to Brian Mitchell. Mitchell going to return it. To the 30. 35 breaks the tackle. The 40. He may go. Rene Thompson giving chase. It's over. It's a touchdown for Mitchell.
There's a guy having some fun.
Wow. I may be wrong, but I think that was Gary Bender on the call, the one-time Bears broadcaster. Could be wrong, just sound a lot like him. Brian Mitchell is on Twitter at BMitchLive30. He is the Midday Show co-host at 106.7 The Fan in D.C., former NFL running back, 9 seasons in Washington, and a Super Bowl 26 champion. And we are getting him hooked up, looking forward to having a conversation with him in just a second. He was really the, in my memory, there was Rick Upchurch, there was Billy White Shoes Johnson, there was, Eric Metcalf, Mel Gray.
Talking about the return game.
And then before Devin Hester, there was this guy who was, the first time you're like, do they kick it to him? Do they not?
This dude was a terror on Tecmo Super Bowl is what I'll tell you. And like a lot of my early NFL knowledge goes back. No, here, see, you laugh and you scoff, but let me explain it to you.
No, I only laugh because we didn't let people in on the fact that your earlier segment, show them again.
That was literally based on the thoughts I had.
The fact is the germ of that thought to do that work was based on experience with Tecmo Super Bowl or Super Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah, it's Tecmo Super Bowl. A lot of people miss say the words. Okay. Super Tecmo Bowl, but it's Tecmo Super Bowl. And that was the first game where you had all the stats and everything.
Okay.
And this guy, Brian Mitchell, mess around and punt to him, he could run it back on you. The computer could, you'd feel real dumb.
Was that the one where Bo Jackson kicks people in the nuts and rips their heads off?
That's Bo Jackson's special.
So some leagues had a rule that you couldn't draft him. It was like LT and Bo Jackson you weren't allowed to have because they were so...
There's all kinds of... You can't lurch if you're the nose tackle. There's a lot of things going on with Tecmo Super Bowl. You had a special move where you could just sack the quarterback before you could even back up from the snap and center if he's under center. There's a lot... Y'all don't want the smoke at Tecmo Super Bowl. I'm telling you that right now.
Oh, no, I didn't really play it.
But back to your point.
I'll come get you in television.
I was like, we had all the guys pick teams, and they were like, hey, by the way, you can all be in the same division. Okay, and then we all made the playoffs from the division, or three of the teams made the playoffs from the division.
I love that was underpinning your Bears thought was the idea.
It's like
that
a bunch of teams can make it from a division. 7 teams get in now from each conference.
That was all based on your experience.
I'm sure Brian Mitchell knows he was a superstar on Tecmo Super Bowl.
I'm sure he does too, and he's with us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. The former actual football star and Tecmo Super Bowl star is with us. What's up, Brian?
How y'all doing, man? What's going on?
Man, we're just talking about the impression that you made on young children across the nation when they were firing up their Nintendo. But I know this is a game right here. The Commanders haven't beaten anybody with a winning record. The Bears haven't beaten anybody with a winning record. How do you see this one in terms of both these teams trying to prove themselves as contenders and not pretenders?
Well, it's kind of like the Spider-Man meme where they're looking at each other and trying to see that they look exactly alike.
You got it, yeah.
Both offenses are starting to play very well. Our defenses have, we're struggling a little bit, and you all have some stars out, but Washington is coming along. But this is going to be a game where you show that you mean to be there. I think it annoys me when people say, well, you haven't beaten anybody. Well, you're beating NFL teams, and you're beating them handily. And that's what you're supposed to do. If Kansas City goes out and beat a bad team, no one says that, they didn't beat anybody. They just say, well, that's Kansas City. And I think what Washington and Chicago both are trying to do right now is begin to define what their identity really is. And they both have two very good quarterbacks, and we'll see how things continue to go.
Brian, tell me if my initial impression of this iteration of Dan Quinn is correct, because he doesn't really sound coachy, and I like that, where his approach doesn't seem to be the in the same style. He's quiet, he's thoughtful, And he seems like a guy who is running a business that just happens to be a football team.
Well, I think that's it. You know, when you first get a head coaching job, you're always trying to do the right things. And when you get your second chance, you do the things that you feel are the right things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You start listening to everybody in the first stint. But when you come back, you've learned from the things that you did that didn't work. And then now when he has two former head coaches on his staff, he have a lot of guys in different positions that have had a lot of experience in this league, where he now, all he has to do is be the motivator, the guy, the leader, and let the other guys do their thing. Very much like Joe Gibbs did back in the day. Very much like Andy Reid did when I was in Philadelphia. You know, they were able to let their coaches do their job and just handle the business aspect of it and the motivational aspect. When you get people that you trust on your coaching staff, you don't have to be as much of a coach anymore.
So we have one of the matchups that we're spotlighting here, obviously, is you look at the offensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders and Cliff Kingsbury, yeah. And you look at what's going on with Matt Eberflus not only being the head coach but also calling the defense. How do you like that matchup and how it stacks up with the Bears team that's so far been a top five defense?
Well, I think what I like is that, you know, I think a lot of people, when they hear Cliff Kingsbury, they immediately think of that offense he used to run, and they think it's all about passing. And I think what Cliff has done in his second stint in the league now, well, being a head coach, now being just offensive coordinator, he's added stuff and he's doing a lot of different things. And, you know, he had a quarterback in Jaden Daniels. Don't know if he's going to play or not, but still, you have Marcus Mariota. Where you put defenses in a bind when you get on the edges and you have the different things going on. You know, right now you look at this team, you'll think, oh, they got Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin. Everybody else is stepping up as well. And when you have to cover the whole field, I don't care how good your defense is, but you got to make them cover one-on-one and cover a whole field, you find out how good they really are. You know, and if you got some key people missing, that's going to cause a problem. Communication on defense against an offense like this is key. And if you can't communicate properly, you can't be in the right place, you're going to leave some holes. And that's what Cliff is depending on with his offense now. And then they have a running game in this thing, just like Chicago. You know, Chicago's offense picked up when their running game picked up. Same thing happens in Washington.
How's the culture different now that the stench of the Snyder era has finally been fumigated?
Oh, man, it's night and day. You know, when you go to practice and you're a former player on this team and you have to answer questions about everything that has nothing to do with you, it's hard to focus on the things you're supposed to focus on. Now it's all about football. You know, and I talked to one of the young ladies that works in the security department, and she was like, listen, Brian, everything going on now, everybody is pulling for the same thing. It's a family. You're working for one common cause. Back then, everybody was out for themselves. You know, you didn't know what the topic was going to be on one day, what the method was going to be the next day. Right now, everybody is pushing for one goal, to take the Commanders as far as they can.
I like this matchup in that we're going to learn, and I love that it's on the national stage. Have the people there been making much of this matchup in terms of the fact that it has been flexed into that big window?
Oh, they have been. And I think the fact that Jaden got a little banged up last week kind of takes a little bit away from it. But ultimately for me, I don't look at the quarterback matchup. You know, I'm a former quarterback myself in high school and college, and every time we play the team, they go, oh, man, you got Brian going against this quarterback, that quarterback. He's not on the field, but I'm on the field. You know, so I need to worry about, can our offense keep doing the things against Chicago's defense as they've been? And I have to worry about also Caleb Williams, what he's been doing, can we limit him a little bit? So it's not about just the one, you know, the quarterback against quarterback, and I understand that's what the league does. But as a former player, I don't allow myself to even get to that point. But when they flex the game to a 425 game, you know, and as a former player as well, when I knew we were being seen around the country, that's when you want to have your best games. You want to make sure that you have all your eggs in a row and make sure, you know, you're going to go out there and do the things you're supposed to do. So the person that's going to see you late on in the year, they know they're going to be seeing a good football player.
Whether or not this particular injury ends up being a big deal for Jaden Daniels, and I know they've described it as week to week, there are some people who were pointing to what scouts had said, what scouting reports had read, and saying, look, his frame and his physical durability could be an issue, that no one ever doubted his mind, his decision making, some of the guts on those downfield throws, his feet, all the measurables. But some saying, look, the NFL's hard. The NFL hurts. And this may be something that he misses a couple games a year, or he has a shorter career. Is there an understanding of this being a bellwether for issues to come?
Well, I don't think it is. I think if you look at that play that he got hurt on, he was running, he was in front of the guy, and I think so many people telling him to get down and do this, he decided to go down when someone was right by him, and the guy fell on him in an awkward way. That was a hit that was a little awkward to me. Hell, I tell everyone, Ben Roethlisberger got hurt. Cam Newton got hurt. I watch big offensive linemen get hurt every week. So people do get hurt in this league. And I think when you play the game trying not to get hurt, you get hurt. Hell, when I came to the league, they claimed to be a returner. You know, I was like, you know, you're going to be banged up a little bit. You're only 197 pounds. Well, I played 14 years. I missed one game. You know, I figured it out. I began to change my body a little bit. Then I got big, and they said, well, you can't be successful because, you know, you're too big. So it's always something in the league. But what has to happen is if you have that drive inside of you and you go do the things that you need to do to take care of your body, you'll be cool. Look at all the smaller people that play so long in this league, whether it's quarterback or any other position. You know, you have to find a way to take care of yourself and what's going to work for you. I wouldn't expect him to go out there and gain 15, 20 pounds. Hell, then he can't be the guy who he really is. So as long as he can stay who he is and learn to protect himself, I would tell him this, go do what you do. Stop listening to everybody outside of this game, because I damn sure stopped listening to them and began to soar after that.
Brian, Jaden didn't practice today. What's your inclination as to whether or not they'll hold him out this week? It seems like when they said week to week, and now that he's not even practicing on a Thursday, which you know how big Thursdays are, it doesn't seem like he's going to play. Is that your belief?
It doesn't seem like he's going to play, but, you know, when you start really digging into the history of a Jaden Daniels, played at LSU against Missouri with cracked ribs, had over 200-something yards, almost 300 yards passing, over 130-something yards rushing. You look at Jaden Daniels right now, a guy who doesn't even act like a rookie. You know, he's far ahead of a rookie, understands his game. He works more than most veteran quarterbacks. So he doesn't have to necessarily be at practice to understand what's going on. So in that sense, it's a possibility he plays. You know, as the fact that he didn't practice today, I would lean towards he probably won't. But he's been amazing before. He could probably be amazing again.
And how much is the fall off, you think, if he doesn't play? I mean, even if he plays, obviously he'd be playing hurt. But how much is the fall off from a hurt Jaden Daniels compared to a healthy Mariota?
Listen, I think this kid is special. I have a lot of faith in Mariota, but I know he's not Jaden Daniels at this point right now. But for me, it comes down to Brian Robinson, Austin Ekeler, and the offensive line. If they can begin to move the ball and do something, I think Mariota can go out there and be as effective as he was last week. It's not about the quarterback. It's about the running game and offensive line. If those guys handle their business, good things can happen.
Talking with Brian Mitchell on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Now, you made some kind of bet about, or you are on the hook for something if the Commanders win 11 games?
We were talking a little trash early in the season when things were going down, and I said, if they were to get to 11-plus games winning, I would put on a 2-2 and a Tierra. And, you know, many people think it's starting to lean towards that. But I've had this bet before, and it got close, and I never had to put it on. So we'll see. But if I had to put on a 2-2 and a Tierra, it would be for a good cause this year. I wouldn't have a problem with it at all.
Maybe you'd look good in it. I mean, no, seriously. Anybody
hey,
who's
I may
raised
go viral, you never know.
I'll just say anybody who's raised a daughter. I'd be lying if I said I haven't worn both. I mean, if we're gonna have,
hey, I've worn a lot of. I got three daughters, so I know exactly.
Right,
so that's why you're comfortable with it. You're like, yeah, whatever.
If you've had the princess tea parties that I've had, I'm perfectly comfortable in one. I might wear one tomorrow, for all we know.
That's okay, Dan.
See, that's the whole thing. People have to understand when you're sure of you, you don't care about what anybody else thinks.
There you go. See that we have to actually make it a punishment for the bet that would hurt more than that is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah,
yeah, we got to make it like
when I put that bet out there. The thing about it, you never put a bet out there that you're not willing to be able to do and you're not comfortable with.
Oh, so he was okay.
Sure. No, that's smart on your part. I get it.
Cheat code.
I get it. Brian, thanks so much.
Appreciate it, man. Y'all have a great time.